Praise ye the Lord. Father, we worship you, Lord. We glorify your name, Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. We will continue to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, that we can make every day to be like that. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, this is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And so with this corner, I say, you shall have whatever it says. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us together in fellowship. We are confident that Lord, the Lord is in the midst of us. We already know because the word says, so we are two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am in the midst of them. Lord, we are here together, you know, to, you know, around your word. We have no other agenda, just the word of the Lord. Lord, as we read this morning, bless us, Lord. You know, enrich us, Lord. Father, I pray to grow, Lord, oh Father. Lord, grant it. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. I will just read a couple of verses from Matthew 24, about the first three verses to get started here. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately. I think that one he spoke publicly, right? Then they came to him privately, no? And said, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And that those disciples, at once, and they all get the parable of the sower. And they, you know, they didn't understand it, then that's how they there. They go, what does that mean? And the Lord said, they always speak to the Lord and so on. Anyway, so three questions they asked the Lord there. So, this morning, Christ's end of the age prophecies. This morning, by God's grace, Christ's end of the age prophecies. So, talking about the temple there, that was Herod's temple, right? Bible says that temple was in building for 46 years. That we read in John chapter 2. He has just turned the water into wine in the miracle, and many came to see it. And if you look at that in John 2, 18, then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign shewest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, he said, and in 3 days I will raise it up. What a statement, you know. I, personal pronoun, right? I will raise it up. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, right? Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and without raise it up in, you know, in 3 days. I just want to back up what I said that the temple had been, they are pointing to it was Herod's temple, right? I did for the Jews for 46 years. That's why I read that verse and so on, that, you know. So anyway, and so this Mount of Olives discourse, as people call it, took place during the last week of the Lord's ministry. So the disciples took the opportunity, let's ask him this question now, to show him the main features of the temple, Herod's temple, the magnificent temple and so on, that, you know. Well, you call it my Father's house too, you know, you can use anybody to do anything, you know. So the Lord responded with the surprising prophecy that not only would the temple be destroyed, but that not one stone will be left upon another, indicating a catastrophic judgment will come. So talking about Christ's end of the age prophecy, we take it from there. So a couple of them here, there are many of them, just want to talk about some of them this morning here. So the Lord gets a similar prophecy concerning Jerusalem and Judea during his triumphant entry into that city of Jerusalem. That can be found in Luke 19 as I read, talking about Christ's end of the age prophecies. Now in Luke 19 verse 41, and when he was come near, meaning near Jerusalem, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee about, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, till it be flat thing. Come here, catastrophic judgment coming. And the children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. See? Because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. Well, so curiously, when the disciples ask the Lord, when shall these things be? That's the first question they ask him. Meaning, when will the temple be destroyed and so on? What time will it be? When is that going to be, you know? And then they follow this, this with two other questions, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So it turned out that, the prophecy of the temple, destruction and so on, was fulfilled long before the end of the world. And some of those prophecies were still waiting for them to be fulfilled, as we're going to see right now, which God doesn't know them, but talk about them. Anyway, this proved to be the last invitation. That thing that the Lord said in Luke 19 is the last invitation to the Jews, of people of Jerusalem, to repent and thus avert the fearful disaster ahead. But it was in vain. They didn't listen to the Lord. So the Lord gave more information about this siege of Jerusalem and the great catastrophic, that will follow upon the Jews in Luke 21, and talking about the prophecies of the Lord for the end of the age. Luke 21:20, familiar to many of us here now, after all these years, decades and so on. And when you shall see Jerusalem, in all of these things, compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the country enter therein. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon these people, the Lord said, prophesying and so on, end of the age and so on. Well, this was to be the foretell, that prophecy, a time prophecy we mean, or we know, double, triple fulfillment. So it was fulfilled in the time, as we're going to see now, and it will be fulfilled again in this end of the age. So it was a foretell of the judgment which will fall upon Israel at the end of the age. So the next verse of that Luke 21:24 foretold what will happen to the Jews during the intervening church period between that time and the future and so on, during the church age and so on. And it says, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, he said, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. One of the most important prophecies in the Bible are these verses right here, at least to the Gentile people and so on, the church and so on, So in other words, the Jews were to be dispersed among all nations, the Lord said, and Jerusalem will be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Well, the implication is clear, that when the times of the Gentiles come to an end, Jerusalem will be freed of the Gentiles. The Lord is saying. Now, truly enough, before we go to the other end of it, truly enough, about 35 years later, after the Lord gave that prophecy, around 65 AD, because he gave around 30 AD, he gave the prophecy and so on, 35 years later, in 65 AD, the faithful drama began to unfold, fulfillment of prophecy that the Lord gave and so on. The Jews had carried on a steady persecution of the Christians. I mean, they were persecuting the Christians, from the church age, right? From the fourth martyr, Stephen, and so on, persecution, sort of Satan and so on. Anyway, so, the Jews had carried on a steady persecution of the Christians, killing many, and sending many Christians to the Roman officials for punishment. What happened at that time? And in Rome, the gleaming axe of Nero had risen and fallen, and the head of Apostle Paul rolled in the dust. Not only that, another chief apostle of that time, Peter, was killed also. And by crucifixion, we were told, by tradition, and many history and so on, that you know. Brother Peter even asked, when I said, "Oh, I'm not worthy to be crucified as my Lord, crucify me upside down," he said, you know. So Peter was martyred. All this, the same Jews that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ by the hand of the Romans, take their apostles one by one. This was happening and so on. Now, the Jews now, they became more and more incensed against their Roman masters. So when the Lord came, their confusion was this, that, when the Messiah come, he will deliver from the Romans, right? And they were wrong. They didn't read the Bible very well. There are many coming for the Messiah. He was coming as a baby first and so on. They didn't understand, or they were blinded anyway. Anyway, so now they bring indignant against the Romans, you know, that their master and so on, you know. So, and of course, one of the governor, Roman governor, had some excesses and so on, that, you know, that make the Jews to make an insurrection against him. So they captured the fortress of Masada near the Dead Sea. Masada is a small tiny hill on the southwest corner of the Dead Sea, you know. And even all the kings and so on used to make their fortress there. So they are insurrection against the Jews around that area and so on. And they put the Roman soldiers to the sword, the Jews did. The spirit of rebellion among the Jews flared throughout the whole province. We are talking about this that led to the destruction of Jerusalem right now, that the Lord prophesied and so on, you know. The Roman prefect of Syria, they call them prefect, he's just a Roman official in Syria at that time, you know, when he hears of all that happened to the Jews, Roman soldiers that were slain by the Jews, then he sent his army, you know, and so the Roman prefect of Syria, by the name of Festus was his name, advanced against the rebels, meaning the Jews, with an army of 23,000 soldiers. These are all in history, right? He pitched, his camp outside the walls of Jerusalem. Bible says when you see Jerusalem, brother with armies, right? The Lord prophesied that one. That's why I'm reading this one. So he pitched his camp outside the walls of Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles and called on the city to surrender or be destroyed. Anyway, they refused to surrender, and then what happened? He began to attack the city of Jerusalem. Then something mysteriously happened. So he was attacking Jerusalem and so on. Now, at the time when he had everything in his hand, then as they were opening, because there are people who are there for the Feast of the Tabernacles and so on, as they started to open the gate, you know, the half gate, the half different kind of gate, as they were opening the gate, Festus just withdrew his army. When he had it in his hand already, you know, he just withdrew. He began to go back and go. He just retreated, started going back and so on. It was providential, you know. And the Jews now, when they see the retreating column of the Romans, they attack them. So they now pursue them, you know, they pursue them as well as that, you know. And they had some victory. They killed 6,000 of the Roman soldiers right there, you know. They killed them as well as that, you know, of Festus' army, you know. So, and they capture vast stores of booty. And the Jews appropriate this booty, in immense quantities. Many things of war, they got them from there, from the Romans and so on. And they returned to Jerusalem, celebrating, thinking they have won the victory, but it was a fake victory. Prophecy must march on, praise the Lord, you know. Amen. See, the Lord allowed that for a purpose, you know why? That man, you know, we do that. So the foolish move of the Roman general that resulted in the destruction of their army was in the providence of God. What did he do? He gave the Christians who have had the warnings of the law, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, know that this is not flee to the mountain. So it was their prayer. Those Christians who believe that, so it was God answering their prayer. So that time, when that thing happened, was the time when they were able to escape. They flee to across Jordan to a place called Pella, you know, so they flee and so that, you know. But the unbelieving Jews, they remain there. Oh, the Messiah, and they have prophets among them. Oh, the prophet, the Messiah will come and save us. And we will take back the city and so on. And they didn't flee, but the Christians flee. Providentially, you know. So, can you imagine what could have happened if they hadn't fled? Christianity was still young at that time, right? Imagine them killing all the apostles, right? Where would the church be, you know? So God allowed a way of escape. It's a lesson for us at the end of the age. Praise the Lord. He has given you and I the same warning. Watch therefore and pray always. My answer for you to escape all these things. Some are saying today, maybe there's no rapture, and they even went to that extent, you know. We have to be very careful. These things are, for example, I mean, in future events, they cast their shadows before. See? So let us learn from this kind of thing and so on. Anyway, so, and so we see, that so they perish and so on. Now, when Nero heard about the sudden withdrawal of Festus from Palestine, then he now sent his most able general, Vespasian was his name, you know, and asked, you know, to go and take over command in Palestine. How did you retreat and so on? So Nero, the same Nero who ordered the execution of Paul, you know, and was sitting on the throne. And so he called Vespasian, and Vespasian sent his son, Titus, the Roman general, with 60,000 soldiers to go and take care of things in Palestine. This is the relation after that, you know, that after Titus came, was the son of Vespasian and so on, like 60,000 army he came. So one by one, you see, the cities of Galilee fell one by one, and they were overcome by Titus, including Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. Don't forget the Lord has already prophesied, woe unto you, Bethsaida, woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto you, because why? Don't know the day of Capernaum was the capital where the Lord operated his ministry and so on. Why? There are many crossing trade routes in Capernaum, with the capital of the that time, you know, many trade routes, so it can preach to many people and so on. If the miracle that were done in D and so on have been done in Sidon, they would have repented. Or even in Sodom, they could have repented and so on, you know. So the Lord prophesied woe unto them and so that, you know. So and you know, so that is all in Matthew 11:20-24. Today, truly, you know, none of those cities exist today. None of them. Where is Chorazin? Where is Bethsaida? Where is the other one? None of them exist today. But the other cities, we did not proclaim any war on them, are standing today. You know? So the word of the law came to pass and told that, you know? So, and those other cities, they are gone. They can't even trace where they are anymore, as the Lord has said. So the entire prophecies of the law, the God fulfilled just as he said, you know. Now, so in 70 AD, near the time of the Passover, when thousands, so they complete the conquest, right? They have destroyed all the other cities and so on, titles and so on. At 70 AD, near the time of the Passover, when thousands of Jews had poured to Jerusalem, see, for the festivity and so on, the armies of Titus overthrew the city. To the inhabitants who survived a siege. What a siege? A siege marked with incredible horrors, you know, and deliver them to the slave market. Those who survived it and so on, you know, when they were dispersed throughout all the world, just like the Lord has said, you know, like in Luke 21 that we read earlier before and so on. So the Bible city of Jerusalem came into possession of course of Israel in 1967 world, right? Telling us one of the pivotal prophecies in the Bible, very, very important, that's why you're concerned it here. So that indicates that the time of the Gentiles is fast fading out, with the time of Israel being restored. It's a very, very sign, that's why we talk about it here all the time, one of the most important prophetic signs that the Lord gave and so on. So the Lord began to describe the signs that will mark the church age in asking the other two questions. So Jerusalem turning down the temple and so on. That's what I'm talking about right now. Then answer the two other questions. So which are, what shall be the sign of thy coming? We have seen Jerusalem turning down, like he said he will do, and that's just a time. If this one is coming in the future, because prophecy can fulfill triple times, right? And all that, you know. So greater one is coming, and so in the future, not too far from here now, from what we are seeing today. So it began to, you know, so the other two signs, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? That is in Matthew 24, where we read before. So then here is the Lord continuing in verse 6 of Matthew 24. And we shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. See, very, very important to you and I in the days we are living in now. No matter what happened in Ukraine, I will come to it later and some of that, you know. Or anywhere else, we are told, see that ye be not troubled. See to it for yourself. I be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So these are the prophets that God gave in answer to when shall be, what are the signs of your coming. So day by day we see all the signs the Lord talked about, right? Verse 7 says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilences. Look at this word. Of course, all kind of famines. The world is a famine. This country, the south, the western part of this country, what they are saying, has been a drought worse than, remember I say in 112 years, you know? They are now worried about Colorado River, right? That supply all of us water in this area. Now, they are even talking of, you know, maybe very soon rationing water, even here. We have to come out, we pray all the time. You know, we have to pray all the time. We don't have to suffer this thing with the war. Some things are not changeable, right? But what you can change, we change by prayer. Praise the Lord. Let's all be very careful. Because, so anyway, we don't worry about famine. Many countries are in famine today. Many of them. Many countries are in famine today already. And if the southwest of U.S., the breadbasket of the world, you know, go through this terrible drought, farmers are complaining now, you know, if there's not enough water in California, you know, the breadbasket of the world and so on, you know. So what will happen? Famine should come and so on. Pestilences, we have seen there, whether man-made or whatever, there was the black plague of those centuries ago and so on, and we have seen our time. About 2 days ago, they said now 2 years, whether man made or devil made or whatever, I said that they are claiming 6 million have died from what they said in 2 years, you know, and from all of this pandemic and so on, fulfilling the word of the Lord. These things are just coming and going. The Lord has foretold all these things in the Bible, you know. And the Bible says, earthquakes, of course, innumerable, right? In diverse places, the Lord's prophecies for the end of the age, right? All these are the beginning of sorrow. The Lord is saying, even when we are saying all these things, they are just the beginning of sorrow. What things are coming, say? No, not for the elect of God, but for the world. So, verse 9 says, there shall be, persecution will come. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted. And shall kill you, he says so. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. No wonder we are seeing all this persecution we see today of Christians all over the world and so on. Happened in the early church, we know that, but it goes to the end of the age. So, so verse 13 says, but he that shall endure to the end, wait a minute, because there are some things here. Verse 10 says, and then shall many be offended. We have to be very careful now. And shall betray one another. See? And shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. We have seen even in Nigeria, we see them, the Jesus of Oyinbo. You know, right back in those days and all that, you know. The Bible says this in time. Even here, Father Divine, you know, when we hear here before, Father Divine here in America and so on, he was saying that he was God, you know. And people have seen this and heard these things. And here the Lord foretold these things before and some of that, you know. And the Bible looks back, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know, in Revelation 3, we need to warn the church, the Laodicean church. We are rich and we have need of nothing. And yes, you are cold. You are cold and so on. I wish, look for me, said and so on. If you want to be cold, why look for? Or if you want to be hot for the Lord and so on. Anyway, so the love of many shall wax cold. We have to be very careful to be always, you know, seeking the Lord and so on. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So now we should be carried away by any of these things. Let us focus on the Lord. Now, these prophecies having fulfilled over and over again as you ought, know, and so on. And as far as for wars and rumors of wars, there are the two major world wars since that time, right? And innumerable petty smaller wars, right? Talk in Africa, maybe all the time there's always a war going on one way or the other in Africa and so on, especially and so on in the third world and so on, that you know. So we know. So now, even as we are speaking now, another war is going on in Ukraine. Russia having invaded it since February 24th. And the scriptures foretold that the consummation of the age will be by the mother of all wars, Armageddon. Now say, what you are seeing now, just the beginning of sorrows, right? No matter what war you are seeing, World War One and World War Two combined is nothing compared with what happened in the future in Armageddon. So we see. So the Lord prophesied for the end of the age. Then the Lord came to the final sign, marking the end of the age, which is the preaching of the gospel. Matthew 24 verse 14 should be a memory verse for every Christian, really. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Didn't say that you all accept it, but it should be preached in all nations for a witness, and then shall the end come. So when you witness, you don't seem to budge. Just witness. Amen? Praise God. Conversion belongs to God and so on. He knows those who are his, right? Having this, God knows those who are his and so on. You know, they will not all receive it, but I'll be a witness. So, that is the final time, right? A final time before the coming of the law will therefore be the fulfilling of this command of the Great Commission, we call it, to preach the gospel to all nations. So, before the church today, the present task upon us, the church today, is to get the message to the masses. That is the present task for the church right now, you know. While we thank the Lord for all the efforts currently being made to preach the gospel, some build hospitals, some send aid to the tata area, all well and good and so on. But we thank God for that. But what really turned the tide for the church will be the restoration of the apostolic ministry. Amen? Praise the Lord. The restoration to the church of the apostolic ministry, we turn the tide. We speak 3 minutes of our channel to know. Thank God for the internet. Yeah, the gospel is going over the world and so on. But it can even be said by many on the sign the Lord gave us in the Bible and so on. So this kind of prayer should be your prayer and my prayer. The full restoration of the apostolic ministry. So in evangelism and so on, that you know. We speak this thing up and so on. And then the coming of the Lord. Now, other end of age prophecy for the Lord include the Great Tribulation, you know. So we're talking about what will happen, what it says. We're talking about the Lord's end of the age prophecies, right? Now, the Great Tribulation, Matthew 24, where we are, verse 21. For then shall the Great Tribulation, such as was not in the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be, the Lord said. And except those days should be shortened. I mean, when I read this scripture, it makes you to be sober, right? But joyful too, you know, because it's good for the believer, right? There, as you know, flesh be saved. Such a catastrophe, right? You know? But, I like that one. For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. I mean, that's where I anchor my faith, amen? No matter what happens. Bible says for the elect's sake, God will shorten it. Satan can't cross a back. God has drawn a line where he can never cross, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So that you don't need to fear anything. Just live for God and all this way. Praise the Lord. See? So, I know. So, shall be. And so, then, if any man shall say unto you, no, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall be a lie, same it again, false Christ and so on, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That is, and be very careful. The Lord is a prophecy, right? And it's happening, you know, every day. Much more so in this global communication age, right? You have to check everything by scripture, you know? See? So let us be like those Christians who had the law and they flee across the land to Pella, you know, by heeding the word of the Lord. We have a word left for us here of the Lord. Behold, verse 25 says, behold, I have told you before. See? Praise God. I have told you before. So let us hear the word of the Lord. Now, foremost, the Lord said, the age will come to an end with the great tribulation. a time such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. When this period, as well as those just ahead of us now, or preceding this time and so on, was to be marked by the rise of false prophets, the Lord said, and false Christ, but especially now in the near future, the man of sin, see, the father and mother of all false prophets, you know, the man of sin, we are alive. You know, any time of the sin, we are walking back down right now, you know, and we make a covenant with the Jews when they arose, according to the scripture. The covenant will be broken in the middle of a 7-year period. I'm just summarizing the events of the age now that we don't talk about and so on, you know. A 7-year period by what the Lord himself called the abomination of desolation, he called it, spoken up by Daniel the prophet, the Lord said, you know. We all know Daniel chapter 9, 24 to 27 verses and so on. We all read that this morning. The Lord mentioned it and so on, that, you know. This event will introduce beast worship, see, which will in turn be a sign for those in Jerusalem to flee to the mountains again. Second time. Don't forget that what happened before, just for time, like I said before, when it happened in 70 AD, right? There's one another one that the Lord is talking about here, the second fulfillment of the same prophecy. The abomination of desolation inaugurates the beginning of the great tribulation. When, in the Bible study in 2 Thessalonians 2, when that man sits in the temple, the tribulation temple, I say, I am God. That will begin that great tribulation and so on, you know. Anyway, inaugurate the beginning of the great tribulation and period. This is a time of trouble, the Lord said, of such intensity that while the days not shorten, the Lord said, no flesh will be saved. But the Lord promised that for the elect's sake, those days should be shortened. Well, we know in history for a long time, you know, this prophecy was thought to be only figurative or poetical, that no flesh should be saved. They were saying, what could have happened that no flesh should be saved in the world? Oh, it's figurative speech? No. Or it's poetical? No. God is talking, when the Almighty God is talking, what poet is that? Now we know what he's talking about. Anyway, but now, that not only an atomic bomb, but even hydrogen bomb warfare is possible upon the world, responsible statement see that the warning of the Lord Jesus is only but true. Praise the Lord. Not poetical, not just figurative. No. That is a particular thing you have to do by the Bible. Most of the time, take it literally. Praise the Lord. There might be some time where it talks, but most of the time, just take it as a certain time, you know. So it's true. This danger, I don't know, is a factor of the decision made by the U.S. right now, you know, on the war going on in Russia, in the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. This thing about the fear of atomic holocaust is why, it influences the decision of the U.S. What are the reasonable statement, right? They know that if they declare a no-fly zone, that can clash both Russia and U.S. And that is, they are even calling it Third World War, right? You know, because atomic bomb, hydrogen bomb now, has put this fear in the hearts of all nations. So responsible statesmen and so on, they want to trigger it. We remember in the 60s, JF Kennedy and so on, that, you know, and the Cuba crisis. We know that kind of thing, you know. So anyway, so the Lord has said it, that they are now, in the Bible say, the mass invention now, atomic and hydrogen bomb and so on, that, you know, now, so, you know, can destroy so many things and so on. Anyway, so it is well understood that a nuclear war between the U.S. and Russia will lead to a worldwide catastrophe of a proportion never seen before. For example, following is a report of the effect of the use of atomic bomb in World War II. We are expecting on the Lord's prophecy that unless it shortens the time, no flesh will be saved. Here is a report of World War II. On August 6, 1945, during the World War II, an American B-29 bomber dropped the world's first atomic bomb over Japanese city of Hiroshima. The explosion immediately killed an estimated 80,000 people right there in a split second. 80,000 people. Tens of thousands more who later died of radiation exposure. 3 days later, in that war, Second World War, a second B-29 dropped another A-bomb, meaning atomic bomb, on Nagasaki, killing an estimated 40,000 people. So Japan's emperor, Hirohito was his name, announced his country's unconditional surrender in World War II in a radio address in August 15th, citing, and I quote him now, citing the devastating power of what he called a new and most cruel bomb. That is his word, you know. That is even atomic. Hydrogen bomb is even more powerful, as I described it right now. Those were the effects of atomic bombs. Now the hydrogen bomb has increased the power of destruction over a millionfold. It is now possible to pack into one hydrogen bomb the power of all the explosives of World War II in just one atomic hydrogen bomb head. Possible now. All the things in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, you can put in just one hydrogen bomb now. It contains that kind of power as well. Now, with that kind of thing now, so great cities such as London, New York, Tokyo, or Moscow can be completely destroyed with one nuclear weapon. All of, look at those cities and so on. Just one of the hydrogen bomb, we just do it and so on. Bible prophecy indicates that the Antichrist, we don't know, they may use before the Armageddon and so on, that an indicator that the Antichrist will use the atomic bomb. He will have atomic bomb too. We know that, you see. That's what the Christ, because Bible says in Revelation 13:13, it says this, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So even you have atomic bomb, whether they be used is a question, as long as that you know. But the Lord will shorten the time for the elect, as long as that you know. He can't destroy the world. So the Lord shows that during this terrible period, the Antichrist will be in the saddle, demonstrating his lying signs and wonders, so that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So the Lord warned us people, he warned his people not to be deceived by these things and so on. The Antichrist is there, as long as that you know, he wants all of us. So that is coming in the future, the Lord, for all those things, talking about Christ's end of the age prophecies. The sombre thing is that these things are happening and many are not paying attention. You see, that is the sad thing about it, as well as you know. Anyway, now, the Lord also told about the rapture of the church. So when describing the last days, the Lord likened the period to that of the mad pleasure-seeking antediluvian in the days of Noah. See, talking about the end of the age, talking about the rapture too. Matthew 24, where we are in 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man, which shall be the sign of your coming, right? Rapture is in part of that sign. Or the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, and marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Nothing wrong with just eating or even drinking, but now make it your God and put them ahead of God. Nothing wrong with money. In fact, one of his first miracles was one of his public miracles was performing a wedding, right? What they call any wedding is now when they put all this ahead of God. That is the problem, right? Anyway, and they knew not until the flood came and took them away. Now watch. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What shall be the signs of your coming, right? Another sign of the coming of the Lord, the Lord's end of the age prophecies, rapture is in it and so on. So he also likened the last days to the wickedness of the days of Sodom, in Luke 17:28. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they build it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. See? Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his top in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Then say, remember Lord's wife. So the Lord here is he also liking these people. Another way of talking about the end of the age, right? His people, as he's coming, to 10 virgins. Talking about the prophecies of the Lord Jesus for the end of the age. He touched the unbeliever, warned the Christian, you know. So now, 10 virgins who went forth to meet the bridegroom. One half of the number had oil in their lamps or in the vessels, and the other had not. That one, we are familiar with that parable here already. Consequently, when the bridegroom came, only half of them were ready. The Lord could not recognize the other half. He didn't say, I hate you, or I didn't know you, like he did to some other wicked people. But what he was saying is that he couldn't recognize them as members of the bridal party. So, the oil, of course, we know, typifies the Holy Spirit, like we have explained here over and over again. While the unprepared went to replenish their supply, I'm not telling you that, the bridegroom came. Look at verse 10, Matthew 25. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. See? So, he talked about the church also to be ready, right? The parable clearly portrays the rapture of that part of the church. Not all the church now, that was ready. Bible says so, they that are ready, right? So, it is a warning for all to be alert that when we hear the call of the bridegroom, when he comes, we shall be ready to go forth to meet him. In one parable, he said, when he called the first watch, or the second watch, or the third watch, bless that servant whom he found washing, right? We are to remain washing, no relentlessness. Praise the Lord. The Lord shows that, for his people to be ready, he gave us a clue how to do it. I just love him for that. Once you do something, he shows you how to do it. And that is a household scripture in this place. I've learned this scripture for 45 years. I'm not tired of it. So it may look redundant, but if you're doing it every day, that's the way to look for the Lord. You watch for him every day. Praise the Lord. Luke 21:34. Let's read it down to 36. The Lord shows, let us be like those Christians, that had the warning of the law and they flew across Jordan to Pella, right? Luke 21:34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. No matter what those cares are, don't put ahead of the Lord. And so that they come upon you unawares. Now, talking about the cares of this world, he told us in the Epistle, casting all, 1 Peter 5:7-8, casting all your cares upon him, right? For he cares for you and me. Praise the Lord. So don't come and be facing yourself and come and obstruct, the blessings of the Lord in our life. So, for as it near shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always. See that word always there? Not just last month, no, always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now we notice that the word worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man is very, very significant. Why do I say that? Because it means that not all of God's people will be ready. That's why. Not all of God's people will be ready when the rapture takes place. Because we are told in Matthew 24, verse 40, then shall two be in the field, right? Because there's a theory there, or whatever. Some say all the churches will go in the rapture. Some say there's no rapture. And they are just off the scripture. But we know there will be a rapture. And not all the church will go in the rapture. And the Bible says there in 24 of Matthew, verse 40, then shall two be in the field. One shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Now I put the warning there again, verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord coming. Praise the Lord. Let us be watchful, brethren. you know, that we're not to miss him. So we always say that they say that we have been taught over the years, we are the man of God. When is the Lord coming? Every day. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, the coming, another one is this. The coming of Christ in glory is another prophecy that the Lord gave by the end of the age. Now, before I go on, don't forget, the rapture called before the tribulation. You know, the rapture called before the tribulation. That we have explained here over and over again. Anyway, so now, another thing that the Lord said about one of the end of the age prophecy that the Lord gave was, he's coming in glory. In the same place in Matthew 24, you know, at 27. So, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also what now the coming of the Son of Man be. The question was, what shall be the sign of your coming, right? Here is another sign of his coming. For wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Then watch, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of his trumpet, and he shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, many Christians confuse that with the rapture. No. So, that's not the rapture. The rapture has taken place before that one. And we have many scriptures for that. We can't go into that now. So, look at how it's coming in great glory. In fact, in Revelation 1:7, he said, behold, he cometh in the clouds, amen, praise the Lord, and all I shall see him. And those who pierced him, Revelation 1:7 says so, I don't have that one here, I think it says so, that's right here. So what a contrast, this coming of the Lord God Almighty, to when he first came as a babe in a stable. His coming will not be in a secret or in a desert, but as the lightning cometh out of the east, and is shining even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, he said. The rapture, only the elect of God, in fact, they won't touch the ground. We are told, the Bible says in Thessalonians the 4th, about the chapter 4, about 16 through, I believe, 19, I don't know, you know. The Bible says, you know, the Lord himself shall descend, you know, from heaven with a shout, you know, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we that are alive and remain shall be caught all together with them in the cloud. So meet the Lord in the here. It's in the here when they come for the rapture. Praise the Lord. So, but second, when they come, he's coming again. We are going to come with him at that time. Anyway, so this is not the rapture. So now, so we see that one right there. So, so there will be great celestial signs. At this time when it's coming, call it the third coming if you want. Great celestial signs. With men's hearts, filling them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. The Bible says, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Luke 21:26 says so. So the celestial signs include the darkening of the sun and the moon and the falling of stars from heaven. These signs will be followed by the terrible trumpet and the vile judgment that we have seen in the book of Revelation. We don't have time. The destruction of the wicked is also revealed in verse 28 of Matthew 24. It says, for wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Meaning that wherever the slain fall will the birds of prey be at that time. You know? So now, we will stop right there. The Lord's prophecy, end of age prophecy, just some of them that he gave us over the judgment and so forth, both that has happened in the future and in the past and the future. Now for us, be ready. Let us be ready for the greatest event since our Lord Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. Yes, the rapture will be the greatest event since the Lord ascended to heaven, his return for the rapture of the first fruits. In the same Matthew 24, verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Let us make all goals in life, make them pale into insignificance before the great price of being in the rapture. Amen? Praise the Lord. And make all goals in life pale into insignificance before the great price of being in the first fruit rapture. Now watch this one now. As Elijah's means were supernaturally supplied before his translation, the Lord has promised to supply the needs of his saints before the rapture too. Praise the Lord. And scriptures abound. Matthew 6:33 says so. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's not poetical. That's not figurative. The Lord meant what he said. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let us be true to God's word. God be true to his word. Matthew 7:7. Ask whatever you need, brother and sister. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek for it, and you shall find. Without faith, God says so. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And let Satan come and say something and say for some people, no. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, the Lord said. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. That includes your asking, Lord, I want to be in the rapture. Praise God. Now, the last scripture here is this. In Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. What do you want? All things. I always like that word. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Where? In Romans 8:32, talking about all things. He that spare not his own son, but deliver him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. Praise the Lord. So his promise includes all things, right? Sounds too good to be true. Yes, it is true. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us so much. Unto us is given, O Lord God, to know, O Lord God, all of these things, the secrets of God and so on, that you know. He spoke to Abraham, shall God hide from Abraham that which he shall do? The talk of the length of his day. So in our day also, you have revealed to us the Lord, what the Lord is going to do. So we are very grateful and we are very thankful, Lord. Help us to pay attention, to be sober, to be vigilant in the name of the Lord. And you already told us we shall lack no good thing. We just pick up of the scripture right now. As we concentrate on your word, Lord, and doing what you told us to do, you pray you're going to supply all our needs for the spirit, soul, and for the body. Blessed be the holy name, O Lord. Based upon this scripture this morning, Lord, that the Lord will supply, another scripture says, the Lord will supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Your word will never fail. See, heaven and earth shall pass away, the Lord said, my word will not pass away. We thank you, Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Luke 12, you put it straight to us, not to have anxiety about tomorrow. Bible says sufficient on each day and the evil thereof. Tomorrow shall take care of the sins of itself. And God can never lie. That's one thing God can never do. We go on with this thought, you know, out of here with this thought today. And live it by them every day, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And quit ye being men, the Bible says. Meaning, walk in the Spirit. In the name of the Lord. See? And to us, all things are possible. As we walk in the Spirit, by the word of the Lord, nothing shall be impossible unto us, according to the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for showing the signs of the times, Lord, because you love us. So we pray for all your children across the world. Many are still ignorant, even of the signs of the times. But we know, until the last one comes in, how can we then go up? So we pray for them, Lord, that the light, this light, Lord, will reach unto them one way or the other, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that O Lord God, we will all welcome the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in closing, Lord, this morning, this prayer, and we are counting on your word. The Bible says that the love of many will wax cold. Help us not to be one of such, Lord. Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the rather, O Lord God, as we were, you know, see the salvation, you know, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us to forsake ungodliness and worldliness, Lord, and so forth. And looking for that blessed hope, let it be our daily state, that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Let it be our portion, Lord. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for being with us in the reading of your word this morning. As we go, you will expand these things to us, Lord, individually, Lord. Father, thank you. And so, wherever we go, we can encourage others in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for the coming of the Lord today, bread night. Thank you for hearing our prayer this morning. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.